Welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Justin.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Tommy.
All right, let's get started.
All right, guys. Welcome back.
Man, it has been a while.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
No, we had a lot going on, though, you know, with end of year stuff. Both Jeff and I had kids that graduated high school.
We did.
So a lot goes on with that. And then we took a vacation to the beach. Jeff, you look like you've been to the beach.
I have.
Yeah. Tan. Got tan going on.
I had to go get my kids from my parents. I got burnt to a crisp.
Well.
God, it was bad. It was an overcast day.
At some point in your life, you got to
I should know better. I mean, I grew up on the coast, you know, but. Golly.
Man. Sunbeam got burned.
Now, you know, Justin, Justin wears sunscreen in the wintertime in the house. I mean you don't look like you tan. That's what I'm saying.
Do you go tan?
No, I meant tan. When the sun hits you, you don't look like you actually will tan.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah. Okay.
You should see what he really looks like.
White to red to white.
Which is probably a perfect segue for hearing that you recently went and played a little pickleball.
First time playing pickleball. It's pretty fun, actually. It's like a grown-up, big version of ping pong.
That's true.
Yeah, Jeff invited me.
Yeah.
And I've owned my paddles for over a year. We literally took the tags off of them when we went.
Yeah, as Justin mentioned, is a Louis Vuitton version of pickleball.
Yeah, you did.
Equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Did you have like your initials in your paddle?
No.
Not yet.
The surface is like soft leather.
I did
leather.
Have a nice carrying case, but I will say Jeff did beat me on the carrying case because
I can't take credit. That was all Aaron.
He literally has a bag with pickles on it.
Playing pickleball.
Like pickles playing ball.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
So how does one get prepared to play pickleball?
Apparently you dress in your absolute best attire.
There you go.
Tommy showed up. I mean, dressed to go on the golf course.
First of all,
with shoes that don't tie. Hey, dudes.
First of all, we were going to eat dinner at a restaurant in public.
Yeah.
So I wore a collared shirt, but it was made for, you know, outside athletic shorts. And it was raining, so I didn't bring my tennis shoes because it was raining.
So essentially,
well, it had been raining.
Like, hey, I need to dress like Roger Federer, pro tennis player, to go play pickleball.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. That's good, man.
Except he didn't wear tennis shoes. He wore.
I did. I forgot to bring my tennis shoes.
Oh, okay.
Once we were leaving, I was just like, oh, forget it.
I wore my leather loafers. Yeah, because we're going.
Well, I could see you wearing that. Now that we're speaking truthfully here, I mean, it's like Justin.
I went and played pickleball with them. I was dressed athletically.
Those?
No,
did you wear those
tennis shoes,
orthopedic sandals,
a normal non-collared shirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did y'all go out to eat somewhere nice first?
No, we went after sweaty.
After, yeah.
Boom.
We didn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, we're living our best life. We're, you know, two amazing women, right? We're married, kids. I mean, we didn't.
Do you have pickleball paddles and stuff?
No, we borrowed Jeff's. Yeah.
Do you have any now?
No.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, my kids have a paddle. Okay. They each have paddles. Yeah. So where are you going with that?
I was curious because I wanted to know if we, you know, like, I'd want to go play with you too.
Dude,
like,
I would play.
But I only have four. I only have two paddles.
That's my problem. I get too competitive.
That's fine.
Like, there's even at one point, like, Jeff's Aaron and myself were on a team against my Aaron and Jeff. And, like, Aaron and I, you're Aaron. Uh-huh. We're not good teammates. I feel like we
both
are aggressive
trying to
like
get the ball.
Like,
no,
and I was
mine,
like,
y'all
I got
both
it,
the
I got
same
it.
Mind.
Yeah. And then I realized when I played with my wife, I was jumping in front to get it because I don't know that I had.
Started doing that. Like, I didn't do it on purpose, but then Christine quickly told me,
"Stay
that's
on your
mine.
Side.
I got it." And she did have it. She was really good.
She did.
It was her first time playing too, and
she was way better than you.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'll take that. All
right. But that's the thing. That shows a lack of trust, too. Like, when I was cutting in front of my Aaron, just like, you know, she's like, I got him. I'm like, oh, do you? You know, it's humbling. So,
no, but I see why people like playing it.
Yeah.
It's fun. Mm-hmm. And it's not as big as a tennis court. So, but it's, I still find myself like, some of those are hard to get, like, especially in Hey Dudes.
I think we learned our lesson.
Yeah. So, anyway, well, I'm glad we're back together. I know I've received a little bit of hate mail about when are we posting again, and
I know.
You know, it's like, I'm
sorry,
looking,
guys.
Yeah,
we tried to plan better, but
Well, some people.
All
you know,
the
then
events
I,
got us.
Then I think about, well, there's only probably a handful of listeners from the beginning.
Yeah.
Most people coming in, they have, what, 50-something episodes to go listen to. Yeah. So
there's probably other podcasts out there that people could listen to.
I don't know.
With shorter email addresses. Yeah. Mm.
We're kind of up there with old. Joe Rogan. Yeah, so.
Mm.
Mm. Maybe a few $100 million less or a few $100 million less listeners.
I don't think so.
No, that's all right. Anyway.
All right. Well, we wanted to get into a topic today that the three of us have found ourselves in at some point in our lives. And it's just kind of resurfacing again with some guys in our discipleship group and just questions that we have. And, you know, and a lot of it is finding purpose in our lives at the end of the day. What is what we're doing matter? Are we doing things that have eternal impact wherever the Lord has us right now? And just wrestling with, you know, is this what I'm supposed to do?
Am I doing enough
for the rest of my life even, you know, like, you know, yeah. Is the Lord leading me to something else? And if so, what is it? And how do I discern what that is? And, you know, when do I make that jump? And that's going to affect my family.
How do I know
the
difference? Is it just my desire or the Lord's desire?
Absolutely. Yeah. Is this what I want? And how do I know who to listen to? And where do I get advice? All those things. So I'm going to dive into that a little bit. And, you know, I know I can attest to, you know, even preparing to go into ministry feels like, oh my goodness, can I just go do ministry? You know, like you're like, I know this is important in the end to get there and all the different things, but there's some of it where you're like, okay, I'm ready to get out of the classroom and go, you know, and it's 4 years of this and then more training and all the stuff. And so, but you know, doing that too, I mean, I worked at UPS in the mornings. I worked at a, you know, a side gig painting and all the different things. And so there's times where you look at it and you're just like, what am I really doing? You know,
yeah.
So, what about you guys?
Yeah, no, I think too. One, I think early on in a believer's life, I think it you wrestle with it probably more, and then hopefully as time goes on and we're doing the things that one we're called to do in Scripture, and then we just naturally desire more of the Lord's heart and His voice and His Word. Hopefully that gets easier. Not everything's always going to be understood, but hopefully it gets easier. So. Yeah, I think it's a natural thing. I think it's one that a lot of us wrestle with. So important to talk about.
I definitely remember vividly having the sometimes out loud conversations with the Lord. You know, and to your point, Justin, it was early on in my desire to want to get closer to the Lord, you know. And sometimes I think it comes along with maybe there's an emptiness inside of me and there's a drawing of me to something, right? And we start searching out all of these ways to find fulfillment. And when those ways fall short, you know, then I'm like, well, Lord, what is it? What is it should I be, you know, if please sit down next to me and tell me, what is it that I should do? What is your will for my life? And I struggled with that for a while. And at the root of that struggle was where I was in my relationship and walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a close, daily, you know, intimate relationship. It was kind of a far off distance. When I need something, I'll come to you. Mm-hmm. When I'm worried, I'll come to you. And that's just the reality of the root issue for me was I didn't know to hear His voice. I didn't know a lot of what the Scripture said. And it was sometime later when I really start going, you know, into the Word that Matthew, I might butcher this address because I'm not looking at it, but Matthew 23, 22, 30, yeah.
7, 37.
There's a couple of verses, and they're asking, you know, the Pharisees and those are there in the temple with Jesus, and they're asking, what is the greatest commandment? And He tells them that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and equally love your neighbor as yourself. So if we read that, that's and that's Jesus himself telling us what our greatest commandment is to love him in, with all of your heart, soul, and mind. And that means with everything that you are, every fiber and every being. It doesn't mean love him from a distance. Doesn't mean to come to him when you need something. It's a 24/7 relationship.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, I've been a believer since I was 15, so 31 years. And along that journey, any time where, you know, a question or I feel purposeless or I'm not really fulfilled, it's all comes at a time when my relationship with the Lord is not active. It's not where it's supposed to be. It's been neglected of some form or fashion. And so that void then needs to be filled with something. And then I try to fill it.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I see that as a common thread for a lot of people. And a lot of people, especially believers, will toss the Lord told me when he didn't. You know, to validate why they're doing what they're doing.
We can convince ourselves of 100%. Anything through that lens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did it with physical possessions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I get this or do this, then I can use it in the service of the Lord to help just validate what I want. It's almost like molding God into what fits my agenda.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Lord, if I buy this, you know, leather-plated pickleball paddle, I can start a community pickleball tournament, and then I can share the gospel. You know, I'm kidding, obviously, but I mean, that's where
our
minds go.
But it's the same thing. Whether as ridiculous as that sounds, it's ridiculous in how we can convince ourselves of the things that we want.
And how easily convinced we are.
Are the things that we need.
Yeah.
We lie to ourselves.
Yeah. Well, and even lying to ourselves, I think where we can also, if we're honest, see things unfold is that we'll start to seek out counsel. And I use that word loosely. We'll start to seek out voices.
Advice
from other people that may or may not be following the Lord, right? Or even if they may be a believer, like my thing is always trying to understand, like, is the person that I'm getting advice, counsel from, where are they at? Are they pointing me back to Scripture and the Lord, or are they giving kind of their own advice for the situation at hand? And those are different outcomes.
Yeah.
So it's important to discern that.
So let me pose a question.
Mm-hmm.
In those times in your life when you are questioning, you know, what you're doing for a living, purpose, all the different things, what is it that you've discovered along the way, whether doing it wrong or finally figuring out how to do it right? What are those things there that now you have in place that you go to help you in those times?
Well, I'm going to answer the question indirectly, you know, in the sense of what I found was when I truly understood what it meant to love the Lord with all my heart, and I started to devote the time in studying his word, in prayer, and putting my decisions in front of him, I started filling inside of me what the Bible talks about, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, contentment. Those things started becoming more prevalent in me, where I didn't sit and think about as much. When I'm in that state, when I'm really, truly following, you know, and desiring the Lord and chasing him day in and day out, I found myself focused on things of the spirit side. That sounds real churchy, but what it meant was less about desiring the physical things that I know I didn't need. I didn't spend my time looking up certain things that I wanted to buy to fulfill that missing link. I found joy and contentment in what I was doing, where I was at. So I didn't feel a need to go and do something different. I started finding contentment even in my work that, hey, where I'm at now, I can make a difference. I have an opportunity wherever we are. you know, I have an opportunity to share the gospel, to love on people. And that became freeing in the sense of I didn't have to worry so much now. Was I doing something that the Lord wanted me to do, or was I, you know, not doing something that the Lord wanted, you know, me to do? And I'll just say this. It was like I read a quote that said, you know, the grass is not greener on the other side. It's greener where you water it. And that's true in our marriage. That's true in our personal lives. That's true in our professional lives, that where we invest the time to nurture and to take care of the things that we have in front of us, mm-hmm. that those things will prosper. Those things will flourish more so than it's not always about, well, if I do something different, then I will be this, then I will be happy. Then I, you know, we're not called for happiness.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm thinking of those listening, right? Like, let me ask you guys this question. What's your purpose? Why are you here?
Yeah. Well, that's where I think, you know, as a believer, this is where you got to put it through the filter of, yeah. as a believer, our purpose is to glorify the Lord, right? To Tommy's point earlier, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. So our purpose is to glorify the Lord, and in that we make him known by going, like, as we're going, right? As yeah. even the Great Commission calls us to spread the gospel, right? Share the good news. So that is the ultimate purpose. The purpose is not, hey, believe in me and I will give you all things and yeah. I will make you, you know, you will be joyous all the time because you're going to get all the things you want. And so I think that's where it kind of brings a little bit of humility, you know, of recognizing to a point that we've talked about before is like, that's the dying to yourself. Our self, our flesh wants right. to be, wants the things we want and wants us to be happy and satisfied in kind of those worldly circumstances and conditions. Right. But that's not what we're called to. And so where my mind goes is I think about, you know, in Psalm 42:1, where it says, as a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. Like, that is really a filter I've got to put and go, hey, if I'm desiring the Lord first, mm-hmm. if I'm spending time with him, I'm reading his word before I ever even get to the things that are on my mind. If I'm doing those foundational things, then am I able to trust in him? Am I able to wait, right? As yeah. I'm praying, spending time with him.
Right.
And then when things unfold, obey, whether we like the answer or not. That is where I feel like you can feel like you're walking in God's will.
Right.
So purpose is to glorify him, and then his will is really kind of those other things that kind of give mm-hmm. us those things in scripture that tell us, like, peace that surpasses understanding. Like, you get those things as you desire the creator. Right.
So how does knowing that truth, that we're created to glorify God, and when we say that, we mean to live in such a relationship where we love him with everything that we have, so that the fruits of the Spirit mm-hmm. Come forth through us and impact those around us. So here I am, hypothetically, right, in a job where I work all day long, mm-hmm. doing something I don't necessarily love. Mm-hmm. I'm away from my family, and it's not making me happy, mm-hmm. you know, to do this. However, it provides for my family, right? Mm-hmm. And so how can knowing the truth that I'm here to glorify God impact the person that's in that situation?
Yeah. And look, and this is where I think nothing is new under the sun, right? You mm-hmm. take all three of us right now and you put us in a field looking after sheep
right.
all day long. And that's what you're born into back in the day. Mm-hmm. Is there any version where you're like, oh, this is joyous work. And like, right. I absolutely love doing this and being out in the heat and fending off other animals from attacking sure. the sheep. No, not at right. all, right? Right? So in my mind, like, that puts things into perspective because, right. hey, it can always be different.
Yeah.
But if you apply it to today's times, and it's like, yeah, are we praying honestly to the Lord and saying, hey, like, right, search me, oh God.
Yeah.
You know that I feel this way about it. What am I missing? Mm-hmm. Maybe in realizing what I am frustrated with, what am I missing when I come back to the purpose question? Like, yeah. how am I glorifying you where I'm at? And I've heard it said, Tommy, like, bloom where you're planted. Like, am I blooming? or am I just not seeing things?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you another thing too, that the more that we get and conceive this idea that there's something better for us, the less we see what's in front of us, the blessings in front of us. You know, the Lord blessed me with a great job and one that I am able to use my position to help influence others in a way that I wouldn't be able to before. And I get to talk to a lot of different people from a lot of different walks of life. And, you know, those are the things that we need to really take a step back to realize where the Lord has us now mm-hmm. is where he wants us.
Right.
You know, and that may not be the destination. He may have mm-hmm. other things for us, but we don't know that if we're not truly in his word every single day. And it reminds me of that video about the shepherd video where they right. have all these people mm-hmm. come out and take turns calling the sheep. Yeah. None of the sheep come until the shepherd, they know his voice. Mm-hmm. They all come. Real quick, I just, Justin, while you were talking about the purpose that we were made for, is to glorify God, it brought up a Bible verse in me that was shared with me from Chris Yeager in my time kind of talking to him in the past, and it was one that stuck with me, and it's Isaiah 43:7. It says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him." Mm-hmm. God has made us for his glory. And so if we keep that in mind and we know that he is for us, he's not against us, we take a step back and pull ourselves out of the situation that we're in to look at the bigger picture. This reminds me about Joseph's story. Mm-hmm. We're going through Genesis.
100%.
About that. I mean, do you think Joseph liked being captive and in prison for right. 2 years?
For being obedient.
No.
Yeah.
Actually, he was in captive longer than that. The 2 years is crazy because the guy forgot about him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the dreams. And, yeah. you know, he's like for 2 years anyway. But if we, you know, remember our purpose, if we have a relationship with the Lord, and that is, to me, is the root and the key of everything, is are we fully, wholeheartedly pursuing the Lord? Are we surrounding ourselves with people who are wholeheartedly pursuing the Lord, gaining, you know, with godly counsel, these types of decisions or these things that we wrestle with, I think, become less of a wrestle mm-hmm. and more of, you know, more of a vision or a thing, you know, you find more purpose mm-hmm. because you are better planted where you are, you know.
Well, I mean, and I was thinking the same thing about Joseph, right? Because that's fresh. But just thinking about, like, he could have been, "Woe is me." Easy, oh, right?
I mean, really?
And we would have been like, "I get it, dude."
Yeah.
You know? But even in prison, he lived in such a way to glorify God that he was raised to be the leaders of the other prisoners, right? That gave him those opportunities to interpret mm-hmm. dreams and that would lead the other things. To your point, Tommy, it wasn't immediate. It was later on down, even 2 years, that God forgot about it, you know? So looking at the situation that you're currently in, how are you glorifying God to the fullest mm-hmm. where he has you?
Yeah.
Be obedient where he has you and watch what he does.
And I think, too, that's where, like, there's practical things, but also think a lot of people don't talk about this because we've even talked about it in our, in guys group that, you know, people have walked through these seasons, mm-hmm. you know? So it's not just, oh, like, love the Lord your God and do this and do that and just all these, like, truths thrown at people. It's like, hey, people have actually walked through this and seen it unfold and the Lord do things. So that's the other thing I think, you know, yeah. we need to be as people, as believers, open to, and I've shared it with y'all. I'm like 2 years at a place where you're just like, oh my word, you know, but very, very real and prevalent, you know, in praying to the Lord and not perfect every day, but doing those things we're talking about. And that's where the Lord's voice was very, very mm-hmm. clear. It's like, hey, I want to do something in this. And even after it was clear in what he revealed to me in the intimate detail that he shared, I was still there another 18 months, mm-hmm. you know? So it wasn't like, oh, I heard the Lord speak and all was well in the world. Right. It's like, no, there was still waiting,
right.
but also in waiting, being obedient to know, hey, you know what? I can absolutely start moving some cups around and try to figure out how I get out of this situation. But in the spirit, as a believer, I'm like, you know what? that's the flesh. And the Lord has told me to wait, and I'm going to wait, and that's what I'm going to obey.
He's so gracious and merciful to bring relief in those stressful times of our lives when we need it the most. Look, I've struggled with anxiety at different parts of my life with certain situations. I've been there. And it's fearful. It's that fight or flight feeling. It's an overreaction to something that normally we wouldn't have that reaction for, generally out of fear, right? And what I found was my roots at that time were very shallow. And, you know, I had to learn how to, what it meant to renew my mind, what it meant to, what it means to, you know, put off the old and onto the mm-hmm. new, those terms that people say, and you know, okay, what does yeah. that mean? And, you know, I'll tell you, through our group and through our, my, you know, you guys really helping me along the way see that. And then obviously the Holy Spirit inside me teaching me and giving me the wisdom that I desire to have, that anxious reaction has become less and less.
Right. Well, and Jeff, you've been good about this too, is like there are practical things too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we make it so mysterious,
right.
You know, and, you know, there's times before where you're like, hey, like make a pros and cons list.
Mm-hmm.
And just like put stuff out there just to see, like, have you thought through everything? And then alongside fellow believers, because yes. then you're kind of going, okay, this is stuff that I let kind of swirl around in my head mm-hmm. that I haven't really put to paper. And you kind of make like a, hey, what's the good and what's the bad?
Yeah.
And then still not removing the Lord from it, being like, Lord, this is a lot of information. Like, this is a list of pros and a list of cons. Like, you still may not know the answer, but it's like, Lord, like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And again, back to those principles, back to the basics.
And sometimes when you say it out loud, you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know? I mean, look, so I did that when I, you know, said, well, you know, I really want to be a fighter pilot. What are my pros? Well, it's really cool.
Yeah. I can be called Maverick. Yeah. Pro.
What are my cons? I'm like mid-40s. So I can't do it.
Who's my goose? Yeah.
But in reality, but there have been things that, yeah. I think it's natural that we all have this, you know, we have these desires that come up. You know, we get in the mundane. We get doing the same thing over and over. I mean, it's natural to have these thoughts. It's not mm-hmm. wrong to have those thoughts. But again, it's putting it back into perspective. And some of the thoughts I've had in the past were like, oh, it'd be cool, really cool to do that. And I start maybe doing some research. And I'm thinking, well, dang, what would my family do? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, what would that cause on them? And if I really, truly went through this, yeah. I mean, look, no, I'll
Christine,
share.
I signed up for the Navy. I'm going to be a fighter pilot. I'm going to be gone for 8 years.
She would laugh. Yeah. She would drop out laughing. I'll share one. I'll be vulnerable and share a little mm-hmm. bit. Part of my job requires looking at contracts and us, you know, being me putting some things, partnerships together. And I really found, like, it's kind of nerdy, but I like that words have meaning and they matter in the way they're put. And so I started thinking, man, if I had the credentials to really give legitimacy to what I'm doing, I should go to law school. And I was doing some research on law school. I even told Christine, hey, I got this crazy idea. I'm thinking, just hear me out. What if I could go to law school part-time? And she's like, what?
Shut your mouth.
She's like, are you kidding me? We're trying to put our kids through college. And you're talking about going back to college and law school. I'm like, yeah, but.
Yeah, I can graduate with them. Yeah.
You know,
same time.
I could convince myself that that's something that I could do. Haven't overruled it yet.
And not to cut you off, but like, just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's the right thing.
That's right.
And that goes for anything.
Well,
then I
start looking at the perspective, like, really, is it feasible?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, I mean, just let me put some logic to it. You know, how would it affect my wife? Well, she would probably have to go back to work just to afford it and all that. Like, those are things that are like, do I really need to? I'm almost like.
It's like the saying goes, like, hey, you're free to do whatever you want. But there are some things that might not be suggested, you know? Yeah. Jeff, but it goes back to the principles, man.
Jeff whispered that really quietly. I don't ever got picked up. What'd
he say?
He said, I said 50.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, for anybody that's listening, I mean, I would just say, yes, it's a common question. I think we're all going to wrestle with that question at some point or multiple times in our life, in our walk with the Lord. And then assuming if you are a believer, then at that point, I think it's always coming back to one, if there are these questions and to what we've talked about here, usually those things pop up when our walk is a little different, or maybe we're not as in tune, or we're not spending time with the Lord. So where are you with the Lord right now? What does your time with the Lord look like? And then after that, if you're spending time with the Lord, that's where I think you trust in who he is and what scripture calls out as his attributes and his character. You wait on him speaking through his word. That's how the Lord speaks. And then like you obey the answer. If it makes sense, great, obey it. If it doesn't make sense, great, obey it. And because if those other things are happening, then you can walk forward in that peace and understanding.
Yeah, there's a peace there.
Peace. Yeah, that's a key word, peace. Yeah.
Yeah. It is.
Typically, I know, Jeff, you know this because there have been some personal things of mine, that decisions I've made before seeking the wisdom, and then there's no peace, right. You know, after it. And then I've made the same, I say, a decision on the same scale by going through these, you know, the checklist of things, and certainly putting it, you know, putting prayer, that being the number one thing. And then there is peace because it was done a different way. And
Absolutely. So I think the question, if you're wrestling with that, where are you at personally right now in your walk with the Lord? You know, are there things you need to confess and make right, relationships you need to restore so that you can hear God's voice? And so I ask that you do that. Seek the Lord, seek counsel, and be in his word daily, and watch what he'll do as he speaks to you. Thanks for tuning in, guys.